Genesis chapter 1, probably among others, one of the most powerful scriptures. If you like that, to John 1:1, reading, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Five things are there in the beginning of time. You have the source, the force, God. You have energy, created. You have heaven, space, and earth, matter. Everything is contained in that first verse. All of it comes from God. All of it. You've never seen anything. There's nothing that self-generates. Everything that there is came from the hand of God. If you're a Bible believer, you understand that. If you're a Christian, you ought to believe it. You ought to receive it. Many don't. But I want you to just think about the practical scripture here. Nothing symbolic. It's the pure word of God. Believe it just as is written. And if you've thought anything, you've heard anything that contradicts this, this is our default. Go to this word. So he continues. He says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Simple language that about a 5, 6, 7-year-old child can understand what God had done in the very beginning to bring about the things of this earth, heaven. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night." Pretty easy to understand, isn't it? Now notice this. "And the evening and the morning were the first day." You have now set by scripture what a day is. If we cannot understand what a day means from this, we're never going to get it. And for lack of understanding this, you're going to end up with some very, very weird ideas out there that affect other texts of scripture. It either means, brethren, it either means a literal day, or we cannot understand what it means, period. It is a cycle of 24 hours. It is the biblical day, which the Jewish calendar receives, shows the scriptures, even when you read about the resurrection of Christ, so many times as you read through, you're going to have the evening and the morning, or evening, and then it was day, and they're talking about this. This is how everyone of the Lord's people have always understood what a day is. Now, if you move away from this typical, literal day, if you move away from it, the things that we're going to read are going to become senseless, because they can't, things can't continue on. Let's say, for instance, let's say a day doesn't mean an evening and a morning cycle. Oh, it means 1,000 years. Now, the theistic evolutionary people, they say they're Christians. You have evolution, which the infidel, the unbelieving, has conjured up as a way to get God out of the picture. There can't be a God, or if there is one, he simply is out there and he's watching everything as it takes place. But you know how it works. With the evolutionary theory, things came about, well, one day, somewhere in infinity, somewhere back there, I mean, no agreement was there. Millions and billions and trillions and whatever all there is. In time back there, somewhere there was this slime pool. And somehow or the other, these elements came together and there was a big boom. And out of that big boom, we're supposed to think that somehow it organized itself into what we have now. That's just simply a lie. It can't be replicated. It's not there. It's impossible. So an evening and a morning have to be a day. Keep in mind, as we move here through the days, six literal days and then a seventh. He said, let there be light, there was, verse 4. God divided light from darkness, and he called the light, verse 5, day, the darkness is called night. The evening and the morning were the first day. I didn't finish. Christians, for some reason, think they've got to be able to merge together what the world has in their thinking and what we have in the Word of God. And that compromise is called theistic evolution. A number of, I think, some good brethren got caught up in this heresy. But it merges the idea that, yes, God created, but it evolved. That he created back there in an old world. There was a previous world in which Adam and Eve lived and so many others, and then it was wiped away, and he reconstituted the earth, regenerated the earth, the re-aspect. Oh, see, it was before, and now he had to do it again. That's not there. And they get that from Jeremiah 4, about verse 23. And there it's talking about when the earth was without form and void. He's talking about how desolate Israel is and the destruction that has been coming and is going to come. It was as if without form and void. That was the idea there. But people brought that over and merged it into this text to come up with this other idea of theistic evolution. Yes, we acknowledge there's a God, but God brought about the evolutionary theory. No. Here's the truth. It's not a theory. So we go for verse 6. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. So you have the earth under the firmament, the expanse of the sky, and it is covered with water, totally. Then you have water that is above the expanse, and it's there. And so you have this planet, an expanse of air, and then water all around it. You said, how is that? Well, that's the way it was in the beginning. For example, I don't believe you will see the mention of the sun or the stars or anything like that, except for the creation here, until you read Job, who is probably one of the older books of the Bible, who references that. Because before the flood, the earth was covered with a canopy of water. When Noah, in the judgment in that day, we read that the heaven, the Lord opened the windows of heaven and poured the water. It was a sudden gushing of water to come upon the earth that was up there. And then the fountains of the deep broke up, and it was just a catastrophic flood that came upon the earth and destroyed those inhabitants except for 8 souls in that day. So there was this canopy of water around the earth then. And so, verse 7, God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, that area. It's not all there is to heaven. There is what is referred to as the third heaven, but God, as you read the scriptures concerning heaven, is even above that. God is above all this creation. He can be in it, but he's far greater. He cannot be contained absolutely within his own creation. He's even above that. So he called the firmament heaven, and the evening and morning were the second day, literal day. It becomes more important to understand the literal day as you move forward. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together, so that water on the earth gathered together onto one place, and let dry land appear, and it was so. So what you should keep in mind when you consider the antediluvian world, those that were of Noah's generation, that there was one land mass and then all water around it. I think of it as a large, large island. That's how it was in the beginning, until the days of Peleg, and then he will break it up into the fragmented parts that we have now. You ever look at a globe? And I'm telling you, most of it looks like it'll just go, if you just stretched it all together, it would fit very well. You could just see the form. It's like, oh my, you just take that whole thing and you have what basically there was before that, without the sound effects. But it's true. Verse 9, and let the dry land appear, and it was so, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the seas. And God saw it was good, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so. Boom, boom, boom. Just like that. He said it, and it was done. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind. And you see this again and again in the scripture, after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Now, if you say that it's not a literal day, but it has to be 100 years, 10 years, or 1,000 years. You know, when he gets to this next point where the sun isn't even there yet, the moon, the stars, they're not there yet. For that to go on, all of this would have died. It doesn't work. What works? Literal interpretation of the scriptures. God said, let there be lights. Verse 14, in the firmament of heaven, to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and years. Purposes for those. And let them be for lights in the firmament, that expanse of the heaven, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Now, this expanse, I take to mean on the other side of the canopy of water. I've drawn pictures of this and shared it with you some years ago. And that's how I understand it. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and morning were the fourth day. So it's moving rather quickly, but his time isn't an element with God. Just like that, he can do that. And he did. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl, that they may fly upon the earth in the open firmament of heaven and the lower area of the expanse. And God saw, created great whales and every living creature that moves. And without exception, they all came from the hand of God, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Now, we have how many different kinds of dogs today? Lots. See, somebody says, see, there's an evolution thing going. No, they're all related. But from them came these. It's like there was one man and one woman created in the very beginning. But from them, look at all the kinds of people that there are. Red and yellow, black and white. But they all came from the first two. Now, what I've never seen is, and there ought to be something like this. There ought to be. There must be, if this thing with evolution is true at all. You ought to be able to find some kind of a lower class kind of a man or some off creature that, and I gotta tell you, there's some funny creatures out there. There are. I think of the manatee. Oh, some of the fish are just the weirdest things you've ever seen. But they were created so. But you don't see a mixture of a lion and a monkey kind of thing. Some kind of weird thing that would say, see, evolution, there should be some kind of indication of that along the way. How come we're all this way right now? And yet they say we're still evolving. Really? Where is it? Where's your evidence for that? It's just not there. So, what we do is believe the book. Believe it as it's written. God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, verse 25, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them, notice the plurality here, us, our, in ours. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man, meaning mankind, these what will be Adam, and then, of course, then comes Eve. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. No necessity for evolution of any kind. It's just a self is propagating from that point forward. Replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every green herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth. In every tree, into which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, for food. There was no such thing as carnivorous, not before the flood. Only after, as you pay attention to the scriptures, only afterward is there predatory nature put in the animals. You say, well, but they have, you know, lions, they're not really made for chewing vegetation and such. Well, I don't see a problem with it. Because they're going to return to that in the millennium. They're going to eat straw like an ox. Well, I don't care what kind of teeth they got. They're going to do it. They're made for it. And it will turn back to that. But they were not predatory then. That happened about Genesis 9 after the flood. People didn't eat meat before the flood. They did not have any of that. It's just not there. The Lord had provided for them the things that were created, the green things, the seed, the tree, the fruit of all that. And I'm certainly for eating meat. Okay. I'm not a vegetarian. There are things that are missing, I think, in that diet now that you have to supplement it. But all of that, I think, will be resolved when the Lord comes. And the curse is removed then at the removing curse. Now, I've given that to you. It shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, for food. So everything ate vegetation. And it was so. That's it. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. Very good. There was nothing wrong. Man was created in an upright, not perfect in the sense of unable to fall, but he was created in an upright state. And God saw it. In these 6 days, he pronounced it very good. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. And it'll go into to the rest in chapter 2. What does it mean when he rested? He ceased the creative acts. And like that, from that point forward, there's no new thing under the sun. It's done. It can't keep, there's not going to be any more creating taking place. This is it. He has settled the issue. It was all good. And then you move into chapter